Well, I still remember the feeling that I had when I left the movie theater that evening. I just finished watching Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King for the first time in theaters. And for any of you Lord of the Rings nerds out there, you're just like, yeah, right away, we're already off to a good start. But I actually, at that point in my life, I had not read the books. I wasn't super familiar with the story except a couple movies that I'd already watched. And so, you know, what really captured me, though, it really awakened something inside of me was the end few scenes of the movie. After evil is vanquished and good wins the day, there's this moment where the king is enthroned again, that the crown is set upon his head. And there's this moment, though, where when he receives that crown, he says that this day belongs to all of us, not just him. And I don't know what it was about that, but it captured me. And then there's just this sense that he is the king that anybody would hope for, that all Middle Earth was hoping for, and that any of us would hope for. A king who is good and benevolent, but also strong and holds justice in his hand. And I just remember that there was something about that sparked something inside of me. It was like I was electrified by this idea that there could be a kingdom with a king like that. And when I left the movie theater that night, I'm pretty sure that the wheels of my bike didn't touch the ground once on my way home. I felt like I was floating the whole time because somehow I knew that the movie that I had just watched and the story that I had just taken in, I knew that somehow it was true. Now, we're in our second week of a series called Unto Us, a series where we are looking at the book of Isaiah and the prophecies that he foretold about this coming child who would be born. And we're learning how these prophecies, these promises that God made to his people, how they were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, but how they also are still being fulfilled in our lives even today. Now, last week, as Pastor Joel kicked off our series, he invited us to kind of reawaken the wonder of the Christmas story in our own lives. He told us that God has actually written himself into the human story, and that if we would just trust God with our story, that he could write an incredible story in and through each of our lives. And today, as we look at a passage that invites us into a new reality, this idea of a king and a kingdom and everything that we have been hoping for, I hope that sense of wonder will be reignited once again for many of us. And what we're being invited into in this is a foretelling of what Jesus would be, but also something that each of us can apply to our lives today. And so we're going to turn back to the book of Isaiah. In chapter 9, so Isaiah chapter 9. So if you have Bibles with you, you can turn to that. Otherwise, it will be up on the screens for you to read along with. But it's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. And here's what it says. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he'll honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So this is the word of the Lord to us today. And for those of you who were with us during our Life of David series, that last part of the passage will carry obvious notes of prophetic foretelling for us, right? Because it says that he's going to be upon the throne of David and that this kingdom is going to last forever. Well, we learned all about that in our Life of David series. We call that the Davidic covenant. This moment where God was saying to David, someday there will be a king who is on your throne, and that king will reign over this kingdom forever. And so we see that being told by Isaiah to remind the people of God that God will still fulfill this promise. Because remember, at this point, Jesus had not been born yet. This is way before that. And so they are still hoping and waiting for this king to come. And so what we're being told in this passage is that what we're being given, you know, the series is called Unto Us. What's being given unto us in this passage? Well, a child who would become a king, and with that king, he would bring his kingdom. So the subject here is God's kingdom. But what is that kingdom? What is God's kingdom like? How do we know when we experience it? How do we know if we're a part of it? And what does it do in our lives today? And so what I want to do is actually talk a little bit about what the kingdom of God is in our lives today. And to help us understand that, we're going to talk about inaugurated eschatology, or an easier way to say it is the already not yet. It's the already not yet of God's kingdom, that with the birth of Christ, certain things came into the human experience where we experience the kingdom of God, but there are certain aspects of his kingdom that are not yet fulfilled in the human story. And so to help us understand that, we have this timeline from the folks at Desiring God that I want to bring up. And I know how excited a graph gets you guys in the morning. So I just thought, man, let's get a graph up there. But really, this helps you see what we're talking about, that this age, which began in the book of Genesis, we're living in it, but this has become an evil age. The Bible says this present evil age that we're in. And so there's an evil that has come into the world and has marred all the good that God put into this creation. And then you see this moment in the orange line where there's the first coming of Christ and his resurrection and the outpouring of the Spirit, the birth of the church. That the age of the church or the age of grace begins in that time period. But what sparks it all off is Jesus' birth, the Christmas story, the first coming of Christ. And that inaugurated this idea. It brought about this idea of the already not yet of God's kingdom, where we are experiencing many aspects of his kingdom, but there are some things that we don't yet experience. And then there will be a day at the end where you see that blue line, where it ends, that the second coming of Christ, the general resurrection of the dead, that there will be a day that Jesus comes back in power and authority and glory, and he will judge the earth, he will rid the earth of evil. And then all that will be left, as you can see, is the age to come, the kingdom of God, that orange line. That's all that will be left for all of eternity. And so, this is the concept of the already not yet of God's kingdom. So what this tells us is that we're in a season of history that's a little bit like if you ever wake up real early in the morning, and this time of year it's not as hard to catch this moment, but where you see the sun is going to come up over the horizon, but it hasn't quite gotten there yet. And you can start to see that light is coming, but it hasn't really come yet. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to question whether the sun will rise. You know it will. It just means that it hasn't quite peaked over the horizon yet, and darkness still seems to be pervading the atmosphere. But as soon as the sun comes over the horizon, darkness will be completely gone. And so that's the age that we live in. So what does this bring to us? If this is this understanding, this already not yet, this overlap of God's kingdom with this age that we currently live in, then what does that mean for our lives today? And how does the Christmas story play into all of this for each of us? So what I want to do is I actually want to go back through the passage we just read, and I want to grab three key verses and share three points that I think help us to understand how God's kingdom can impact our lives even today. And the first thing I want to talk about is that God's kingdom shows up in unexpected places. God's kingdom shows up in unexpected places. So let's go ahead and look at that verse 1 in Isaiah 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he'll honor Galilee of the nations. And so here's what we got to understand here is that Galilee was not a very important, prominent place. That is, until Jesus lived there. Galilee was just a simple fishing community. A lot of fishermen lived there. It was a pretty simple, kind of country place to live. And that's where Jesus lived most of his life. Not Rome, not Cairo, not even Jerusalem. but Galilee. This unexpected place for the Savior, for the King of the world to reside. And maybe you're somebody that when it comes to the idea of Christmas, and the idea that Christmas is a metaphor for all of our lives, that Jesus actually wants to take up residence in every single one of our lives. Some of you might feel like, well, I feel like I'm the last place. I'm the last person that Jesus would want associated with his kingdom. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you feel like somebody that it would be completely unexpected for God to choose you and say, I choose you and I want you in my kingdom. I want to live inside your life and I want to do things in and through you. And you would say, there's no way. There's no way that God would pick me. But what we see in this first verse and throughout the scriptures is that God wants to firmly establish his kingdom in every single one of our hearts. That God loves to take unexpected people in unexpected places and bring his kingdom and let it shine. Now, the second thing that we see in this passage is that God's kingdom is for the broken. God's kingdom is for the broken. So if you're feeling broken today, listen to what Isaiah says. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So maybe you feel like someone who's been walking around in darkness lately. And I know it's that time of year where like it's just way darker than the rest of the year, and seasonal affective disorder is a real thing. So if you're feeling that, like, yeah, that's super difficult. But I'm actually talking about a different kind of darkness. I'm talking about the dark night of the soul. I'm talking about that season in life, that time in life where you just feel like you're just walking around in a fog, like you're lost in a deep, dark forest and you can't find your way out, and your heart and your mind just seem so trapped by darkness and you can't seem to see anything else but the darkness that surrounds you. And when life feels like that, when you are trapped in that kind of darkness, it can be very difficult. Life can be very hard. You still try to do your everyday things, and it just feels like you're walking through mud. But the profound truth of the matter is that God wants to find those who are walking around in the darkness, those who are lost in the fog and can't seem to find their way, those who are walking through gloom, those who are stressed and hurt and afraid and lost and broken and tired. And if that's you, listen to what he is saying. That he wants to invite you into a new way of living. If you've ever been in a deep darkness, or you've been lost in a fog trying to drive or something, even the smallest light can help guide you. Even the smallest light that you see and you go, okay, I'm going to follow that and just see what happens. Well, maybe for some of you, that's what's happening today. That there is a small light that's beginning to emerge in your life. Maybe it's been throughout this season. Maybe it's been the last few months or the last couple of years, or maybe it's even just today. The fact that maybe some of you say, actually coming to church isn't really a normal part of my routine, but I'm here today. And maybe today through this time, God will just bring a little bit of light into your life. And sometimes that's all we need, is to be able to see that little bit of light and let it start to guide us. Think about the people who were invited into the Christmas story. You have shepherds who, because they saw a great light in a field that was accompanied by a heavenly host that was singing songs of exaltation, that they were then led to go find this Savior and this King that had just been born. They were invited into that moment. Or you have the wise men. We usually say three. We don't know if it was three, actually. The Bible never says. But what we do know is that there are wise men who came, and actually when they showed up to find Jesus, it probably would have been about when he was 2 years old at that point in the story. So if I'm messing with some of your timelines there, just go read the Bible. You'll see it. But so they show up about 2 years later. But when they do, it's because they had followed a star in the sky. And then they came and they found this King. And they worshiped and bowed before him. And so, if you are walking in that kind of a season, you can simply follow that star. that pinhole of darkness that is punctured through the tapestry of this darkness that shrouds your life. Let that pinhole of light puncture through and follow it. Because when we trust the Lord in that way, we will find that we are being given an invitation to worship and know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The third thing we learn about God's kingdom in this passage is that God's kingdom is everything we are hoping for. It's everything we're hoping for. All the things that we want and dream about and imagine, it's actually found in this king and his kingdom. So let's read verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Some of you know that, right? Some of you sang it in choir, Handel's Messiah. Maybe you've been to a performance where you heard these words, right? Or you've seen them on a Christmas card, or you've seen them on a sign in a store or somebody's home, and we hear these words a lot at Christmas time. For unto us a son is given, for unto us a child is born, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I mean, we hear this, but what does it mean? How many of us hear those words and it actually penetrates through and it impacts and changes something in our lives? So we need to understand what these words mean for each of us. Well, right off the bat, we learn that there is a child who the passage tells us is being given to us. Well, in John 3:16, we're told, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his one and only who? Son. His child, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16 is just an echo of this passage, Isaiah 9:6. It's just reaffirming this idea that this promised Messiah, this king, it actually is Jesus. The same one that Isaiah talked about is the same one that was born in that manger on that Christmas day. And that he would rule over a government. So you can't have a kingdom without a king. And so this child is actually a king, and it tells us that the government is on his shoulders. What does that mean? It's kind of an odd image. Well, the idea here is authority, that he's the one who actually rules over everyone and everything. Every king, every president, every prime minister who's ever existed, they actually report to Jesus. That he's truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, this is actually good news for us. You'd think, why is that dropped into the Christmas story? Why do we need to know that the government is on his shoulders? Why is government coming up in church? We shouldn't talk about that. But here's the thing. Humanity has been looking for the perfect system of government for as long as we've been around. We've been trying to find some perfect way to be in existence with one another, some utopian way of living. And there's some political scientists who would tell you that the American form of government is actually the best form of government that's ever been struck up by humanity in our entire history. Now, not everybody agrees with that idea, but if that were true, if it were true, then still that means that the best form of government that's ever been thought up by people still has a ton of problems. We hear about them every 2 years when elections roll around, right? Or is that just me? Is that I'm the only one? Okay. But we hear about these problems, and we see all these issues with our political system. But here's the thing is we actually want our government to do quite a bit for us. Because what we truly want is a perfect government. And that's actually a good desire to have. Because someday we will have one. Just not the one that we often imagine. And the idea is that we actually, each and every one of us, the thing that we all truly want is to be part of a benevolent monarchy. We wouldn't say that, and most of us probably be like, well, I don't even know if that's fully true, but here's the thing. We all are looking for a king. It's just that most of us believe that we're the king over our own lives, that we're the captain of our ship, that we're the master of our soul. But the truth is that we make pretty terrible kings, even over our own lives. And then what we're actually looking for, though, is a benevolent monarch, a benevolent king, one who would rule with justice and righteousness and goodness and who would love us and care for us. And that's actually who Jesus is. This is the government that we all have wanted. And we find it in him, that he is the one who holds this perfect government in his hands. He carries it upon his shoulders. And the thing is, though, is that if he truly is this king that we want him to be, we got to know, well, what's his character like? What kind of king is he really? Well, the passage tells us in the very next part. It first says that he's a wonderful counselor, that he's the one who counsels us. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is our counselor. And so we need a God who's going to counsel us and guide us and give us wisdom when we don't know what to do, who's going to advocate for us and be there for us. He is the wonderful counselor. And then we're told that he's the mighty God. Why do we need to know that? Well, often we're given a picture of Jesus that's quite weak. And I even heard somebody one time say, well, isn't he kind of weak? I mean, he let all those people whip him and beat him and crucify him. I was like, well, he could have called down a legion of angels at any time. And not only that, but you show me one other person in human history who died, walked into the grave, took the keys of death out of the hands of Satan, and then walked back out of the grave. You can't show me another person in human history who's ever done that. Our God is a warrior king. Amen. He's defeated death. He's conquered the grave. We have a warrior king, and we need to know that. When we see evil in this world and we see it winning the day, we need to know that we serve a king who's not going to let it stand, that there will be a day that all evil is going to be stamped out for the rest of eternity. We need to know that, that that's the kind of king that we serve. Not only that, but we're told that he is a father to us, an everlasting father. For some of us who didn't grow up with our dads around, that is good news. That he doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't abandon us. That he's always going to protect us. He's always going to provide for us. He's always going to love us and be there for us and discipline us when we need it. That is the kind of king we have. And not only that, but he is the Prince of Peace. It's part of his royal title, peace. So when you're walking through anxiety or worry or frustrations or hurts, and you seem overwhelmed, and you seem like you're being pulled underneath the waves, and you can't breathe anymore, that's when we need to remember that the king that we have actually brings us a peace that's beyond all understanding, beyond our circumstances, that guards our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus, that he is the peace bringer that we need in each and every one of our lives. We will not find peace until we worship before this king. And this king and his kingdom bring us everything that we could ever hope for or ask for. I'm telling you, every relationship that's failed us that we hoped would do something for us, every job that we had that we said, this is finally the job that's going to do it for me, every vacation that we take that we put so much hope and stock into and then we come home feeling a little bit disappointed, all these moments in life where we feel disappointed by the things we were putting hope in, it's because we're actually supposed to be putting our hope in this king and the kingdom that he invites us to be a part of, because it's everything that we hope for and more. See, that day that I saw the return of the king, I returned home, and where we lived was in a trailer park. My family lived in categorical poverty. My mom and her boyfriend, they didn't have jobs, and we just kind of scraped by. And my father, he abandoned me when I was an infant, and my mom was pretty neglectful, so I pretty much raised myself in a lot of ways. And everyone in my house was on drugs, including me. I felt depressed. I felt hopeless. I felt lonely. I felt anxious. And I just remember thinking, there is no way that this is what life is. There's no way that this is all there is. You got to be kidding me. And I just remember feeling so unfulfilled and so frustrated as this teenage kid with so much angst. And then I went and saw that movie. And then a few months later, I was invited to a Christian conference with one of my friends. And I don't know why, but I said, yeah, sure, I'll go to this Christian conference. My family, we were agnostic at best. We were not a Christian family. I was not a Christian. I actually thought the whole story seemed a little silly to me. And so I went to this Christian conference, and for the first time in my life, something penetrated the darkness in my life. There was a puncture of light that came through, and I heard the gospel. And I heard that the story that I watched when I watched Return of the King, it was actually a true story. Except the king's name isn't Aragorn, but it's Jesus. And that he's a real king, and he has a real kingdom, and someday he's going to fully establish that kingdom here on the earth. That there was a day that he was born into the human story, that just as Pastor Joel told us, he dropped himself into the human story as an infant. And then he lived this sinless life, and then he died on a cross for my sins and your sins too. And then he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. The church was born because the Holy Spirit that he promised came. And that church has been marching forward for 2,000 years, and nothing has stopped it. No government, no totalitarian regime, no economic collapse. Nothing has stopped the church from moving forward, and that someday Jesus is going to return, and he's going to establish an earthly kingdom here on the earth that will last for all of eternity, a new heavens and a new earth, and that I'm going to have to give an account to this king. And I'm going to have to stand before him and tell him whether I served him in this life or not. But that he loves me so much that he died for me, and that he wants me to be with him for all of eternity. And I just remember being blown away to find out that there really is a king, and there really is a kingdom that I can be a part of, and that he's invited me to be a part of it even now. And on that day, I bowed my knee before the king, and I gave my life to him. And it's possible that there are some of you that have just been walking through such a dark season in your life that the last thing you'd ever expect is on a day like today that God's kingdom would show up into your life, that there'd be a light that would just break through that darkness, and that you'd find out there is a king and a kingdom, and it was everything you were hoping for. And if that's you today and you say, you know what, I actually am starting to see a light. I didn't walk in here with hope today, but there's something that's being awakened inside of me, something being reignited or maybe ignited for the first time in my soul. And I don't know what it is, but I want to respond to it because there's something that's reawakening this Christmas story in my life that Jesus wants to be born into each and every one of our lives and our stories. And so what I want to invite you to do, if that's you today and you say, you know what, that is me, and I'm feeling that sense of just wanting to respond to the love that this king shows, that he is an everlasting father, that he's a God who truly loves me, and I want to respond to him today. I just want to give you that moment before we do anything else in today's service. So if you could just bow your heads in this place and close your eyes, no one looking around. And if you say, you know what, today is a day for me. I don't know what's stirring inside of me, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is actually inviting me to join the kingdom of God today. If that's you and you want to be prayed for today, would you just raise your hand? I'm the only one looking around right now. I see some hands going up in this place already. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hands going up all over this place. I see your hands. Thank you. Anyone else? You say, that's me today. I just want prayer today. That's me. Okay. Yeah. I see you. Well, in this moment, what I want to do is I want to pray for all of you who have raised your hand. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. So I invite you, even in this moment, to just say, Jesus, I do believe that you are Lord. I do believe that you are resurrected from the dead. And I do believe you can save me. What I want to do is pray for all of you who raised your hands today and pray for all of us, both here in this room and online as well. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the many people who are here today or joining us online. And I pray, Lord, that in this moment, that those who've raised their hands, that know that there is something that you are doing in their heart and life right now. Maybe they can't even put words to it, but they knew enough to just that small act of faith of raising their hands, and maybe even some who didn't raise their hands, but they're feeling that, God. I pray, Lord, that they would feel your presence in this moment, that they would know that you look for them and you love them and you want to bring them into your story. And Jesus, with all of this, we want to just ask for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our lives as it is in heaven. The prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, may that line become more alive to us as we pray that your kingdom would come into our lives, that that light would shine through. And God, for every single one of us, may the Christmas story not be something that just becomes religious and rote, but may it be something that awakens wonder inside of each and every one of us, that you would be born as a child into the human story because of the love you have for each of us, that this mighty King laid in a manger, and that someday you will come back again in your power and in your glory to establish that kingdom that you invite us into today. So we thank you for these truths. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, normally at this part in the service, it's when we get ready to say goodbye, but not today. Today we have all sorts of fun that is planned for you. And maybe you're feeling like, man, the Holy Spirit's really doing something in my heart, and now we're going to transition into this kids' performance. Well, I want to let you know something. Jesus said that the kingdom of God belongs to people who are like a little what? Child. So if nothing else, I want you to be blessed. I want you to just go watch these kids, watch the joy and unhindered passion and the awkwardness that they all have as they worship in front of us and lead us today, and let that remind you of the goodness that God is inviting you into, the kingdom that is filled with people who are just like these kids that'll be in front of us today. And just let God minister to your heart in and through them today.